When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, friends. It is hour two of In This League. It is Bogman. It is the Welsh. Whew. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath right here on Sports Grid. Just ranting and raving for an hour.
Didn't even talk about the worst thing that happened this week.
The worst thing
this week.
Hold on. So the worst thing wasn't Mendoza publicly shaming the player that outed this. It wasn't the wiretapping that the players had. It wasn't that there's a secret account that is holding baseball accountable. It wasn't that the players are calling for the player's head. None of that was the worst. What was it?
The Giants hired a female to be a real coach. coach, like on the field and stuff.
What? Who's the whistleblower on that information?
Yeah. Let's get the whistleblower.
No, who is
it? Thank God for Aubrey Huff.
That's who it was. Aubrey Huff, the voice of reason. How could the Giants dare hire a woman?
Yeah. Alyssa Nacken, I believe, is her name.
What position did she get?
She's going to be an assistant on Gabe Kapler's coaching staff, the first female full-time coach in Major League Baseball history. And people have opinions, including Aubrey Huff.
Where do you have it? I want to see. I want to read.
Oh, I got the tweet right here.
Okay, yeah. Please read Aubrey. Okay, real quick. This is Aubrey Huff's reaction to his former team, the Giants, having a woman on the coaching staff.
Just to reiterate, this is Aubrey Huff's tweet and has nothing to do with
people. I mean, yeah, you guys know we're being completely facetious about this ridiculousness, and because this is meant to be about Aubrey Huff here, who. We'll talk about Aubrey in a second. But yeah, please, let's hear his. I'm dying to hear his take.
I got in trouble for wearing a thong in my own clubhouse when female reporters were present. Can't imagine how it will play out with a full-time female coach running around. This has hashtag me too and hashtag believe all women written all over it. Only in at SF Giants. And then underneath that, he says, couldn't imagine taking baseball instruction from an ex-female softball player, eye roll emoji. Have fun with that. At B. Craw, which is Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, and Buster Posey.
So your first one, I was just like, it's a bad take. It's a bad take. But he's not shaming the idea that a woman can't be a coach. He's just being like, you know, hey, I can't wear my thong. This isn't fair.
Own clubhouse, like he owns it.
Listen, women can't be hired because it's not fair that I can't wear a thong in my clubhouse. Like, You're the dumbest person alive. So, but I was like, you're just an idiot. But there was no, like, you know, they, you know, a woman can't coach. But then he lays it out. Couldn't imagine taking baseball instruction from an ex-female softball player. Aubrey Huff, he's something else, man. That guy, I mean, where did this come from? Like, I mean, I guess people probably knew the personality.
I think it's because it's his old team. I you know, if the Reds had done this, I don't think.
I don't think so. I don't think so, dude. Like,
was he on the Reds? He might have been on the Reds,
he
too.
He might have been. I just remember the Orioles and the Giants.
Right. I'm going to look at it. I know he played for the Rays, too.
Oh, you're right about that. There was a Rays period.
He bounced around.
Aubrey found he found a niche that he decided to hold on to because, you know, baseball got away from him. He retired. He's very politically doesn't – it doesn't affect me, but he's very, like, NRA, you know, conservative. And he posted a lot about that, and he got a lot of stuff from that. So what he decided to do was really dig into that. He dug deep into that role. I don't know if it's a role or if it's his personality or he's having fun, whatever he's doing – but he's playing a villain role. He had these insane Iran tweets. He started drawing pictures. His Iran thing, I don't know if people saw it. He was drawing a picture. He's like, this is what I feel like the women of Iran would be like when we save them. And it's like stick figure drawings of like, oh, thank you so much, big American. Like, it is so offensively ridiculous. It's almost like you look at someone and you're like, this is brain damage type of stuff. And then he dug into that. And now
think he has CTE. And then you remember he played baseball and not football.
He literally now does drawings for people for money. And they're all just like super, super offensive. I'm going through them. I don't think I can say any of them.
Well, I have an idea of what I'd want him to draw for me and I can't say it. So, not into the live mic.
Okay.
Maybe during the break, I'll tell you what I wanted.
Who all did he play for?
So he was drafted by the Rays and then he went to Houston for a season, Baltimore for 2 years, a year in Detroit, and then he finished off with the Giants.
Who did he play the most with? Was it the Rays?
Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the Tampa years.
Yeah. Because that's where he was drafted and he was there from 23 to 29. And then the next 6 years, he bounced between Houston, Baltimore, and the Giants. So,
oh man, this artwork he has on eBay is something else, man. This is like, do you think we could get Aubrey Huff on a podcast?
I kind of think we might be able to.
I'd kind of just open mic. let's take a listen. What you got to say?
I'm good. He can go spout off all of his hate speech everywhere else.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's not even like
people get mad, you give him a platform to talk. You know, it's a whole thing. So let him do his own thing. It's this attitude, you know, look, I kind of get what he's talking about in the locker room. You know, you want to be guys being dudes in the locker room and stuff, but you already don't let women play, which I think is ridiculous. And you know how you're always afraid when I bring that up.
Like,
I don't know about that, Bogman. Well, I don't know because
you're very pro women playing, but your take is like it's.
Well, I think the women league should be shut down and they should just meld the sexes. You know, if you're good enough to play in baseball, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what your gender is. It doesn't matter to me. Just you're good enough to play baseball. Get on the field. I don't care. So and it's not that I think all women's league should be shut down because blah, 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 whatever. It's just, you know, it's hard to make a profit from them. You know, the NBA has been propping up the WNBA for a little while. Now, I think that the WNBA has actually crossed that line to where they're profitable now. So that it's completely different.
Well, there's not a they haven't made a professional softball league. College softball
gets professional softball leagues, but
really?
I'm not even talking about that. What I'm talking about is there are women's professional baseball leagues, right? And I think it's eye-rolling and ridiculous that they exist because – not because it's dumb that women want to play baseball, but it's because there's the separation. That is the point.
But the game is also different, though. That's always been my argument. Softball and baseball are different. And most women come up playing softball. I don't
care anything about softball. What I'm talking about is baseball. Like, there are women's professional baseball leagues.
Yeah.
So – you know, I think that is eye rolling, because if they're good enough to play in baseball, why aren't
they? Let me ask
they?
You something. Let you me know. Ask you something. Do you think Aubrey Huff is playing a character, or do you think this is just like, hey, look, this is the first time I get to be me?
No, I think Aubrey Huff needs attention, and what better way to get attention than to make outlandish statements and be against the popular grain? And we're talking about him right now, and he doesn't know who we are. We're talking about him because he made a statement that is asinine, and it's eye rolling. And, you know, it's probably something that needs to be talked
about.
He's
beyond trolling. He's beyond like the first comment you said is really trolling, where he's just like, hey, Me Too movement. And he's trying to poke. But then to like, he literally added players. And what's so bad about that, he's putting players in a bad situation where he adds them,
yeah,
where he's like, hey, buddies.
What is supposed to say? Right.
Yeah, you know, you think Buster Posey's going to like that comment? Like, what are you doing? And then he goes out and he really digs in about that. Aubrey Huff.
Well, he's a funny dude, too. Like, I've seen him in on MLB Network not talking about anything like this.
I'm going to see
and
him
he's
in the
funny.
Future.
I saw him on, oh, God. It was, there's this kid that does these weird interviews. His name, Kenny or Kyle something. You can look it up on YouTube. Just look up. It's called Ball Champions. And it's like someone handed him a microphone, and he's acting like this. Someone handed him a microphone. He has no idea of anything about sports. Plus, he's real nervous, and he's going around asking the Giants questions during spring training. And he goes up to Aubrey Huff, and he's like, so what do you think about being champions in the sport? And Aubrey Huff looks at him and goes, this is the worst interview I've ever done, bro. I don't even know what to tell you. So you're not good at this. And it was funny, right? So he's a funny dude, but I think he's not in baseball. He's used to getting attention, and now he's getting no attention. So let's take – you know, he may believe this stuff that he says, but I think he's taking it to the extreme for attention.
It's just – this is more of – we're going to not listen to talk about football, but, like, this is – but this is more of, like, why are people – like, is everybody's, like, just letting him do all the stuff? Like, is nobody barking back? Like, Buster – but someone bark back. It's just – you know what? To me – if this is so ridiculous, which I feel like he's continuously acting up a player, it is amazing. I'm looking at that comment he posted. Couldn't imagine taking baseball instruction from an ex-female softball player. He added three players. This happened 48 hours ago. I don't see a single player responding to this. And
no,
you know why?
Because
but chirp back. Defend your coach. It is.
Well,
such...
are these guys active? I'm going to click on Buster Posey. I'm going to see when the last time he tweeted.
This has been quote tweeted over and over and over. You want
Buster
to tell
Posey's
me...
last tweet was August 13th, 2019.
Okay, no, I mean that's fair. I mean, well, Brandon Crawford's was 5 days ago. So
okay,
but to be fair, I'm not even talking about them necessarily. You want to tell me
oh,
where all these
God.
Players? Where all hold on? All these stupid players are out here chirping about. Jose Altuve and what's going on. They're not seeing Aubrey Huff continue a narrative that women can't coach. No one's got anything to say. Like, I don't know, man. Everyone is so chirpy about everything, but everyone's quiet about this too.
Brandon Belt's last tweet was April 4th of last year, so he's not a big tweeter either. But I said, oh my God, because his picture is him with his arm around the neck of a giraffe, and he's hanging out with the giraffe. And I always call him the giraffe neck idiot.
Brandon Belt? That's probably. He must have heard it. He must have heard it.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one that said that. If you've seen his neck, like he's got a. I bet you his DNA matches that that giraffe more than it matches ours. So,
Aubrey Huff.
He's definitely part giraffe, 100%.
You remember when these guys would be idiots and go away? Remember like Lance Berkman? Remember like Tim Hardaway? He would say something horrible, and then everyone was like, geez, didn't know this about Tim Hardaway. And then they just disappear. And Lance Berkman kind of had the same thing. And just like, Aubrey Huff's not going away. Just like, go away,
no.
Dude. Go away, brah.
Nah, go away, brah. Don't want to hear you, brah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird situation. And there's been, well, what do you call it when he gets more comments than likes?
Oh, ratioed.
Ratioed. Okay. Yeah. I'm not up with the slang. So, he's, let me see on this tweet, 55 retweets, 546 likes, For whatever reason, I can't see.
You have to go to his page and find the natural tweet.
387 comments to 425 likes. So I guess he's not getting ratioed on this. Couldn't imagine taking baseball instruction.
This is America. Cue the whatever. I can't even remember his. Got Donald Glover. What's his alter ego? I love his music.
Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. Yeah.
Hit the
Gambino.
I guess I am up on some stuff.
You are. So. Look at you.
11,200 likes on the – no, that's his pinned one. See, okay. Now people are coming at him, and he is saying things I can't say on the radio.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know what baseball needs? Baseball needs – Nolan Arenado to get traded to the Cardinals in the worst way, or Mookie Betts to go to the Dodgers. Between the infighting, the scandals, former players, I mean, just having sexist comments and nobody standing up for it across the board. Team officials who work for ESPN calling out players for doing the right thing. There is so much bad publicity. Baseball, like, there might be another meeting where they're like, all right, here's what we need. We need a comet to hit Earth. We need a football scandal, or we at least have got to push a Nolan Arenado trade. We've got to get people to talk about something else and what's going on.
Well, it's nuts. We've got the AFC and the NFC championship. We have Super Bowl chances on the line this weekend.
Oh, so excited.
And we have talked about baseball for four segments here.
Yeah. We're going to talk about football, though, because I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, we have a 2-minute transition here to get to it, but I'm pretty excited about it. But, you know, Bogman, big news, though. Cubs have considered Jacoby Ellsbury. That's big news.
For what? For what? To play baseball?
The IL.
Yeah. I mean, he's got about as good a chance of staying healthy as Carlos Correa,
Did
right,
you see
Welsh?
The sad news? Phillies outrighted Odubel Herrera.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that. Speaking of bad pub, that's what happens when you become a wife beater.
You know what the worst part about all this coaching stuff is, too? All of these just old, washed up, like, old managers are just showing up. You see, like, Buck Showalter. Of course, Buck. Is there a human being that could care less about the Astros scandals than Buck Showalter? He's just like,
I'm Buck, and I like to manage baseball teams right into the ground.
Like, Ron Washington, he wants to get back in, and he's like, no one's calling me. Like, is that where?
Hey, I know we can't cheat, but can we still do blow?
Yeah, cocaine. Like, do we really
give me some of that cocaine?
Do we really need to hand baseball back over to Buck Showalter and Ron Washington?
Well, they got to find, this
players
is why,
aren't working. That's, you know what? Good point, Bogman. What you're probably just about to say. We get to the players, they're all cheating ass cheaters, so we can't. We got to go back to old Buck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the people that think that ownership didn't get punished because of this, because $5 million to a billionaire is, I think it's the equivalent of giving out, like, I think someone said it's a $167 fine to the normal person. That's the equivolent.
It's enough for them to consider like firing somebody, but it's nothing that's going to like.
Well, it's not that the fine doesn't matter. It's the publicity. You know, it's the bad publicity, because $5 million, if you have a good enough manager, you'll pay that on top of whatever their salary is. But it's the publicity. And now Jim Crane has to hire a new GM and a new manager and get the whole thing back in order. A month before spring training starts. Not even a month. I think spring training opens on the 10th for most of these teams. 10th through the 12th.
Yeah, 10th through the 12th, I think.
In less than a month, these teams are going to be at spring training, at the facility, needing to hear instruction and get instruction from these coaching staffs. And that's on Jim Crane now. He's got to pause what he's doing in his normal businesses and figure out all of this stuff, because he owns the team and the team cheated.
One
so,
thing did sucks. Work, and I wish I could find it, and because I just thought of it, and it's not at the top of my timeline, unfortunately, was the one positive thing that came out was this one person created the status of baseball, and it was locked to the fight scene from Mean Girls. And
it's the best thing. I posted that in our group me room.
Yeah. It's the best thing that could have possibly happened. So thank God for that person to give us all a good laugh. Go find it. Just type in like baseball Mean Girls and you'll easily come up. But don't go anywhere. When we come back, we are going to talk about football, some football weekend. My 49ers trying to get a Super Bowl bid. We'll see what's up with the game. So don't go anywhere. Bogman the Welsh in the sleep.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. You can search InThisLeague.com if you want. It'll take you on over to Patreon.com/ITL Army. That is the home base. That is where you can support your boys. That is where you can interact with your boys and lots of other ITL Army members. We are close to a milestone, Pog. We are already the most members we've ever had, and I don't want that to deter anybody. I just don't want that to deter anybody from leaving. We had one person go away, so that knocked the number down. I don't even know who it was, but we are closing in on 400 people.
Look at that.
Boy, Henny. That is a lot of people, and that's a whole lot in our world. So love to get that bad boy over to the 400 mark this month would be fantastic. So come and check us out. Lots of other perks if you dig the IT.
Do you know how much garbage I have to send at the end of this month, by the way?
Yeah, it's a lot. Carl's Jr. bags. People have people have popped up and, you know, wanted you to know that they want the Carl's Jr. bag, Boggs.
Yeah. It's
autographed Carl's Jr. bag.
Yeah, I want the autographed garbage is what I've called it, is what everyone has been saying to me. I'm going to have to send so many. Like, the worst part is I'm going to have to go to Carl's Jr. and ask, like, can I get like 20 bags that aren't used and to see what they're going to say to me? Because I feel like if I wanted five, they'd be like, yeah, that's fine. I'll give you five bags. But now I'm going to have to ask for like 10, 15, maybe 20 at the end of the month. And they're going to be like, well, no, I can't give you that much.
What's so funny about fast food is like if you go and you ask for like something not on something, you're like, can I not have meat? You know, they just like the looks on their faces are just, it's amazing. It's the look like they can't comprehend. Like, even if you're like, I don't want tomatoes or like extra tomatoes, you're like, no. Like, to ask for extra bags, this will not be your reaction, by the way. The reaction will not be like, yeah, sure. You know, like just instant response. Yeah, sure. It'll be like, what? You want
a pizza place
extra?
For a while? And the lady was like, can I just get like three boxes? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. And I handed her three boxes, and she was like, oh, okay, thank you, and just left. And I think she had probably asked, like, at a couple different 100%. Places, and they were like, what? You want what? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. And because I was just like, yeah, here you go, she was like, okay, thank you. I'm like, what, do you need more? You know,
she didn't know what to do.
That was my thought process.
100%, but, she didn't know what to do with herself. She's like, you just instantly did what I asked without trying to, you know, run it through, you know, your processor, you know, your modem, your dial-up modem processor that you're trying to figure out what's going on. It's going to be great, though. It's going to be so good, like you know, signing them. And I'm excited that people got involved in it. So, you know, we're near a milestone. It'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, beginning of each month is always a train ride, and we'll probably, you know, and it's just how it goes. But if we could get past that marker, it'll be pretty exciting for us. And good growth at ITL. So if you guys want, patreon.com or inthisleague.com, you can get over there. Support your boys. Get all the extra content we got. So much fun.
So Secret shows. Much fun. Can we talk about some football now?
Absolutely, we can. Next segment gets the Niner treatment. But let's start up with the Titans and the Chiefs, the unexpected Titans team, the really – they're the Davids, if you will, just taking down Goliaths left and right.
Yeah, and in that game, just looking back last week at our records and our picks, the Welsh, Minnesota and San Francisco, you got both of them right. You had San Francisco in the under, and that went under, and your Niners won big. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
On the Tennessee-Baltimore game, you took Baltimore in the under. You got the under, but obviously Tennessee won. I took Tennessee in the under. The Houston and Kansas City game, I had Kansas City in the over. You had Houston in the over. You were looking really good there for a little bit.
Sure was.
And we'll get to that in a second. But I won both of those as well. You lost on the I almost called them the Astros, the Texans, and you won on the over. And then my solo loss of the weekend was I picked Seattle in the over. It was the spread was Green Bay by 4, and they won by 5, and you had Green Bay in the under. So I lost on that, and I won on the over. You won because you picked Green Bay, but you lost on the under. So you were 3-1 on the over unders, 2-2 against the spread. I was 3-1, and then 4-0.
It was money you could have been making over the weekend.
Dude, I am 50 games over on over unders now.
You, I mean,
148 and 98.
You might need to do a gambling podcast, Box.
Yeah, I might. So
that research, just do a little, put a little research in there. You just give them some notes, give them some stats, and just drop your picks, and you're good to go. 20-minute gambling with Bogman and Carlson. Yeah. Your garbage.
Yeah.
Hey, call it garbage picks with Bogman.
Garbage picks with Bogman. Yeah, well, that's probably as soon as I have a good year and I start doing it professionally, just terrible, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what would happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely thinking about it. So
yeah, I mean, you really should. You've had a fantastic year, good picks there. And yeah, the Titans, they're just taking down the Goliaths left and right. And Derrick Henry is a man amongst ants at this point. I believe the stat I saw was, what, 1,200 yards he's rushed for in 8 games. The only person to do that in any 8-game span in NFL history. You know, he's an absolute madman, and nobody can stop him. And he's going up against a team in Kansas City that's not exactly flush with stopping the run game. So you've got a really interesting pairing here. I mean, first up in the Titans game, I mean, shock upon shock about them moving on, where the Chiefs game was like, uh-oh, and then they come railing back.
I couldn't believe that. Like, it's funny because Houston, you know, my buddy, our buddy Couch, texted me on Monday morning. He said, thank God that when you moved away from Houston, you only kept the Rockets, right? Uh-huh. It's like, because if you were just a Houston fan right now, you'd be miserable because the Texans got eliminated and the Astros have all the scandal around them, marring their one championship that they've won. So, you know, I couldn't believe the choke job that Houston had here. To be up 24-0, and Casey Bubba and I are going to talk about it on the third hour here. But I think we agree, and everyone agrees, that the big momentum changed here when they tried to go for that fake punt up 24-7 and got shut down. And then 2 plays later, the Chiefs are in the end zone. And that was really the start of it. And I don't know, did you get to watch a lot of that game live? I know you were doing a bunch of stuff this weekend. Were you like scoreboard watching or were you watching it on
TV? I was in and out of it. Like when the Texans had a really big run, I went away. And then I came back, I think after the half where Kansas City had the lead. So I was parsed throughout the game. It wasn't a full sit. That wasn't like the Niner game. It wasn't right. a full sit down because I'm moving. So, I'm in the process of moving as everyone.
So this is what happened in the second quarter. Fairbairn hits the field goal with 10:54 left in the quarter, and to put them up 24-0. Then in a minute and 1 second later. Actually fewer than that because it was 9:55 left in the quarter here. Damian Williams catches the touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes. That was at 9:55. At 8:05, Travis Kelce catches a 5-yard pass in the second quarter. 6:31, Travis Kelce catches a touchdown pass. So in the span from 9:55 to 6:31, they scored 3 touchdowns. And all the momentum had completely shifted to Kansas City. Yeah. And then they took the lead with 44 seconds left to go before the half, before halftime. And you just knew at that point, the game is over. And Kansas City is going to win, and they go on to win 51-31, not only covering the spread, but beating them by 20. So it was just unbelievable. And like you mentioned with Derrick Henry going for 195, I think the big story not only is Derrick Henry, but in the two wins that the Titans have had, Tannehill has thrown for 88 yards against Baltimore and 2 touchdowns, and 72 against the Patriots, and they won those games. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's like that's why. I mean, this game feels like it's Kansas City. I mean, this is a cop out, I guess, but it's like Kansas City blowout or Titans are just 1-for-1 blows. Like Ryan Tannehill can't. I mean, he has to double up what he's done in the entire playoffs. Like, this guy has got to be slinging the ball. I know they have to go to Derrick Henry. The Titans have so much on their back here because I'm not sure there's a team in the NFL that carries momentum like the Chiefs do. Like, if the Chiefs run momentum, the Niners, the Packers, the Titans, you're done. Because the Chiefs can be this unstoppable force, but they get in their way a lot. They can get in their way. Their defense can get in the way. They've got to keep up the scoring. I mean, this is why a team like the 49ers could give them fits, because if the 49ers suppress some of the offense, their defense isn't good enough to hold back the play calling of a guy like Shanahan. But, you know, is the defense good enough to hold back the Titans? It's all about Derrick Henry. If they stop Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill has to beat them. He's okay. Is he good enough? I don't know. I don't know if he is good enough to force through comparative to Kansas City's offense. So when I look
at
this game,
he's been good, but I don't know if he's, you know, Ryan Tannehill is not the guy who you want to put your playoff chances on. Yeah, I want to put him more on him than Marcus Mariota, of course. But you want to ride that big horse, Derrick Henry, to the championship. And I just don't know if it's feasible in this game. And the Chiefs are getting back one of their best run defenders in Chris Jones. He practiced on Friday. He had been questionable for the game last week and didn't make it happen. And I really feel like they were holding him out should they have to play Tennessee to be able to stop the run a little bit. So it's going to be more difficult than it has been, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 7-point spread. Over-under is 53. I mean, if you're putting that over-under, Vegas has got to expect that the Titans are going to go blow-for-blow here. Derrick Henry is going to run all over the Kansas City Chiefs. So let me ask you that right there. Do you think Kansas City has the capability of holding Derrick Henry back, who I think has rushed for, like, isn't he rushed for like 180 yards, 3 straight games?
Yeah, it's 100. Well, in the last 2 games in the playoffs, 180 and 195.
It's ridiculous. Like, can the Chiefs stop Derrick Henry?
I don't think anybody can stop Derrick Henry right now, except maybe your Niners. So I'll say no, the Chiefs can't stop.
I think I saw a prop that was like over under like 103.5 rushing yards for Henry in this game.
103. I'm going to ask Bubba 125. That's what I put it at.
Oh, okay.
Because you're taking 50 off of his worst performance.
Well, I just thought I thought I saw it was the early line, not like a.
No, that
fun
I
line.
Mean that that
is
makes
that what
sense.
You're saying?
No, I didn't even look at the prop. So I just I make my own props for Bubba.
Yeah,
so
I'm just saying I think the myself. Official like prop started around like 103.5 or something.
I would
like
take
that.
The over. I would take the
Okay, so you don't think Kansas City is going to be able to stop, which that means Tennessee stays in this game. If they're not stopping Derrick Henry,
well,
Tennessee stays in this game.
It could mean look, I think Derrick Henry could have some big rips in this game because I think that this defense is, you know, this defense is worse than the Patriots. It's worse than the Ravens. So I don't know that he'll need 30 carries to get to 195 yards in this game. I think he could get that with a couple of gigantic runs. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu already talked about how when they played earlier in the season, he said, when I hit him, I thought he broke my jaw because he said it was like running into solid rock. That was his description of tackling Derrick Henry. And you've seen it.
Makes sense.
You've seen him turn guys around. It looked like he was using Earl Thomas knock over the smaller players.
So great. I know. It looked like a video game. It looked like he it's like Yoshi picking up a shell and just like throwing it at everybody. It's just ridiculous.
I think the Chiefs are going to have a tough time containing him. But the other end of this game to me is more interesting because you kind of saw it when the Chiefs got down last week. I feel like they're better when they just flat out ignore the run game because, like you said, it hasn't been good this year and they got down 24 points. So let's just put it all on Patrick Mahomes and they wind up scoring 51 points. As much as I think that the Chiefs are not going to be able to stop Derrick Henry, I don't know that anybody can stop Patrick Mahomes and what he's doing right now. So he's had an up and down year, of course, with his injury, but he is absolutely on fire right now. And so is Travis Kelce. So as good as the Titans are, I think that the Chiefs offense is just going to be unstoppable in this game. So I feel like I got to take the Chiefs in this one. And the over is in this one 53.
That's what I have. And is it seven? The line's seven?
Yeah, seven. And I got 7.5 in 53. So I'm going to take Kansas City and I'm going to go in the over in this game. So because I think the Titans can score early, but we know that the Chiefs can come back regardless of how much they're down because they did it last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on this one. I think it's very tempting to take the Titans. I think there's people that, you know, might think Titans are destined with how they're running. You know, they are every time. I mean, you just don't go with Tennessee every time. You're like, OK, well, they're playing, you know, this force that is, you know, a Super Bowl champion. It's Baltimore. Nope. It doesn't matter. They keep barreling through all these teams. But I think this is where the buck stops with a B. I think this is where this stops. It's Tennessee, I think, early on kind of runs. I wouldn't even be shocked if Tennessee holds a lead for a little bit. But momentum with Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is a crazy force. And I think this is Kansas City moving on to the Super Bowl. And it's not an easy task, and I think what helps Tennessee, I would say as well, it helps them if maybe they face the 49ers, because I think Tennessee is more like the 49ers than, you know, Packers are actually more like the Chiefs. If you had a Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl, I think it's two similar forces just slaying, where Tennessee represents more, a little bit more of what the 49ers would be in a stronger defense, a more run-heavy game. So, I mean, you could disagree with me, Bogman, if the Chiefs come out of this, it might be a version, at least to see how the Chiefs play against the Titans, might be a version of how the Chiefs might play against the 49ers. It's not a one for one. Niners defense is way better, and I think offensive schemes of the 49ers are way better, so it's, you can't take it for perfect, but this will be interesting to see how the Chiefs pair up against a more defensive team and run heavy team.
It's what we have moving forward in the playoffs. It's the best of the best. And I think it's pretty good. This would be, if the Chiefs win and they win big, you can consider this a tune-up for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because the Niners do everything that the Titans do. I think that the Niners do it all a little bit better.
Well, when
so
we come back,
I'm absolutely with you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that Packers-Niners NFC Championship game. Let's see what the Super Bowl looks like in our eyes with the Kansas City Chiefs. So don't go anywhere.
Want Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Final segment with me, but there's a whole nother hour coming up. It is In This League, Bogman, Welsh, Casey Bubba coming to chat with Bogman in hour three. You guys are talking props, lots of proppy bets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was.
Did I interrupt you? Did our live radio show to people that also podcasted and interrupt you eating your cookie?
Look, mother effer, if we want to talk about.
You almost lost 100 bucks.
If we want to talk about how many times I've been caught eating on a show versus you, I win that bet.
I don't eat on. When? I eat
during
before.
Almost every mock draft we did last year in football. Wow. You were eating grapes. Do you remember your grape phase?
Oh, that was a year ago. That's ridiculous.
A year ago, it doesn't count.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry. When we were coming back from break one time.
We're talking about cheating in 2017. Stuff. That's 2 years ago. Come on. It's eating a year ago.
Right, exactly. So, you do remember your grape phase. It was 2 years ago. I apologize.
Did I ever do that on the radio?
The that I truly offended by chewing on a cookie at the beginning of this. My deepest, sincerest, non-sarcastic apologies.
What kind of cookie?
A chocolate chip cookies my mom made me for my birthday.
Are they like soft or are they hard ones?
They're still soft. They're good.
Soft one sounds good.
All right. Well, now it's getting weird.
I want a cookie. I kind of want a cookie right now. I think if I could pick one job, it would just be someone that eats cookies, like a cookie
someone
taster.
That eats cookies?
Oh, geez, yeah. You're still eating the cookies, huh?
I like that job. Well, why not lean into it now? You already gave me a whole month's worth of crap, so what difference does it make, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good listening. Let's just listen to him chew. Oh, that's so gross. So gross. Ugh. Are you upset about Travis Etienne, by the way?
I am. I am a little bit upset about Travis Etienne.
Me too. Pretty stupid. Number one running back probably in 2021 now.
Yeah, well, no. Chuba. Chuba is going to be.
Are they really Chuba over Etienne?
No, I would take Etienne first.
Okay,
but,
so number one, Etienne.
Okay, like yeah. Let's rank the 2021 class already. Let's do that before the 2020 class. Let's do that.
Well, I'm just Etienne, number one. You're like, no, Chuba. I'm like, oh, you take Chuba over Etienne? You're like, no, I'll take Etienne over. Like, what?
I would now, but we got a year. Like, okay, but you don't have to worry about 2021 until 2021, because who knows? I hate running backs going back to school.
This is that constant thing you and I talk about where I'm like, people want to talk about the now. Yes, things change. That's why I always fight with you about the ranks. And you're just like, well, things change. And I'm like, well, tell people what it is now. And things are allowed to change. So Etienne right now is the guy. But it could change to Chuba. There's options in 2021.
You're absolutely right about that. I'd say yes. I don't know. I'd have to go through and look at the entire 2021 class because I'm not looking for sophomores from this year to say that Etienne would be the number one. So I just don't, like, off the top of my head, I don't know that Etienne would be one in my ranks going into next year. But
and he was on
he
par
would
in your
least
mind
be
with
way
like,
up there. He would be. I don't like running backs going back to school because it's a brutal position. You take more hits than anyone else on the field. You constantly have the football and it's easy to blow out a knee, tear an Achilles, whatever it is. So I don't like these guys going back to school, but Clemson lost in the national title game, and he wants to go back to try to get another championship with his guy Trevor Lawrence.
Was there someone else at Clemson that went back? Was there someone else
that's going back to Clemson?
Yeah, am I thinking? Was there other like good Clemson player that is going back, or am I just making
well? Trevor
it up?
Lawrence is he's a true sophomore.
Jennifer Lawrence is going back to.
No, I think Games. They have until Monday to announce. Monday's the deadline. So, T. Higgins is coming out but they have Clemson has had, I think the last 2 years, the number one and number one recruiting classes both years over Alabama. So they've got an influx of talent. Just they have this guy, Joseph Nagata, who he had a catch in the national title game, but he looks like he, you know, like if you remember that picture of Bo Scarborough from when he was like 14 and he looked like he was 28.
Yeah.
Like that's what Joseph Nagata looks like. He looks exactly like that. Just built like a brick S house at 17 years old. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, Etienne going back.
Going back to school.
Yeah. Check out all the stuff. Breaking it down. The later game. My San Francisco 49ers are hosting the Green Bay Packers. And San Francisco is a 7.5-point favorite in this one. So same line. Maybe it's moved up one, but either same or a little bit higher.
46.
I got 46.5 on this one. And, you know, this is coming off of a really interesting, you know, week in that the 49ers trouncing in the semifinals. I always get that messed up.
Divisional round.
A little cookie in your mouth.
Cookie crumbs. Sorry.
Okay. The trouncing of the Vikings, which I was always like, I was a little bit nervous the whole time, but you know, the 49ers went in and they made Dalvin Cook look like, I don't know, Thomas Clayton was trying to run out there. The 49ers were as dominant as I can remember. Jimmy Garoppolo made his one dumbass, stupid mistake that he does. The Niners were able to pivot away from Mostert and make Tevin Coleman look amazing. 22 carries, 105 yards he had in the game with a couple touchdowns. I mean, the 49ers were as dominant as we've seen them with minimal mistakes. You know, they took advantage with the Sherman interception. They were getting to the quarterback. Garoppolo made the one dumbass mistake. It still pisses me off with not even seeing the linebacker. Where the Packers, you know, they played upright a game where they had, I mean, it was started to get away from them. Like, they had a huge lead going into half. It was 21-3. Seattle comes out with 14 points. They score. And, you know, the game maybe looks a little bit closer than on paper, but the Packers win against Seattle 28-3.
That second half was all Seattle.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch scored 20 points in the second half.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch scored the touchdown, and Devontae Adams had the big play from Aaron Rodgers. And then after that, it was all Russell Wilson. And, you know, if this game had three more minutes in it, I think we'd see Niners and the Seahawks. And that's what I expected. I picked Seattle, and I thought they were going to straight up win against the Packers last week. But Green Bay is a tough place to go. Took Russell Wilson a little bit to get going. Got going in the second half, but it was just too little too late for them to be able to survive against Green Bay. And Green Bay is the quietest 13-3 team I feel like we've ever seen from this season, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, one of the you're totally right about that. One of the weird things that's sitting in here is you've kind of got this little bit of battle happening because the 49ers made Green Bay look silly earlier this year. I believe it was in week eight, because of the bye week, the 49ers beat the Packers 37-8. And so the big narrative, which if you want to call it, by the way, if there's any bulletin board material, it was Green Bay talking about how they've totally figured out how they're going to attack the 49ers and they're adjusting their game plans to get the 49ers this time. They know what they did wrong last time and they've got a whole new game plan against the 49ers. Where the 49ers, they get to be the team that says, cool, brah, we're going to continue doing what we're doing, which is we're going to motion the hell out of you. We're going to keep you on your heels. They're going to use Debo. They're going to use fakes. They're going to use play action all day long, and they're going to whittle it down. The 49ers are not huge, big playmaking team, but you try to stop George Kittle. George Kittle was quiet in Minnesota. Guess what I'm going to predict? Ain't going to be quiet in this game. It's going to be a lot of George Kittle, and they're going to beat you down with the running backs. So what's the defensive change that you're going to do? It might be more blitzing. There might be an offensive change, though. But at the same time, the 49ers, you know, they brought back Kwon Alexander. They're healthier, and they're going to be ready. So this is not an easy win in either side. So I'm a little surprised the line is so in favor of the 49ers because there's a lot here. Green Bay is going to be highly, highly competitive. But the 49ers are playing like the best team in the NFL right now, Boggs.
I think that last game, you know, what did you say the score was? 31-7,
38-7, I think it was.
Yeah. Right. I think that plays into this line way more than when you just look at these two teams straight up. Because they held Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had like 20 completions and less than 200 yards in that game. It was not a good offensive game plan from the Packers. And their defense has been playing well recently. You know, holding the Seahawks to 23 points is a decent accomplishment here. So To me, it's more about it's less about the Niners offense and more about the Niners defense stopping Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, everyone wants to play back this bit of he grew up in California. He went to Cal. He wanted to be a Niner, blah, 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 blah. And remember his remember the quote when he was drafted, what, 15 years ago? When he said, "Are you disappointed not to be a Niner?" And he said, "Not as disappointed as they're going to be that they didn't draft me."
Oh.
He's had plenty of times to make good on that. So
lots of
this is another shot. You know, this is another shot. And if he wins, I'm sure he'll dig a little bit because it's what Aaron Rodgers does. But anything that gets you motivated, I have no problem with. If that's what is the motivating factor for Aaron Rodgers, then great. You know, do that. But I just... To me, the Niners are on a different plane than most of these teams. I think I just don't see a scenario where it's not the Niners and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I just don't right now. Yeah. So for me, I think the Niners win this game kind of going away. You know, the Packers have had a bit of a you know, like I said, they are disrespected for being 13-3.
I agree.
But they're also the least likely 13-3 team I think I've ever seen.
I also agree with that, too. Yeah, it's funny. Check out this tweet. This is from, it's actually a Seahawks insider for NBC Sports North Northwest, a blue check mark, Joe Fan. He has a couple tweets here that Packer fans are getting jumping in on and getting pissed. He goes, "I've seen a few people pick the Packers, but I'm yet to see a quality explanation for how they're going to beat the 49ers. I just don't see it. Niners are the better team across the board, and it's not close. Sunday will be week 12 all over again." He continues, "The funny thing is, this isn't even a hot take, nor is it meant to be. The Niners are favored by 7.5 points for a reason." He goes, "I also love the, quote, 'that's why they play the game' crowd. Yes, they're going to play, and yes, anything can happen. The Packers have a greater than 0% chance of winning, but that's what's fun in saying any given Sunday on an app that's meant for discourse and conversation." So even, you know, there's no love for any Seahawks, whether it's a reporter or player person with the 49ers. But even then, like, I don't like that because it makes me feel uncomfortable when we when we start talking about the it makes me feel uncomfortable when the 49ers are in this conversation. Like, oh, they're so clearly going to win, because if you watch a 49ers all season, they when they get into bonehead mode, they're really good at it. You know, Bogman, you saw the Steeler game where, what did they have, 6 turnovers?
Yeah.
And they still won, but they get into bonehead-ass mode, even though Kyle Shanahan, I think, is a genius. And anything can happen with it, but the 49ers really do pair up well against Green Bay here.
If you want a script for how the Packers win, I don't think it's that difficult. What's the weakness in the Niners defense? The Welsh, you know what it is.
Well, it's
what
secondary.
It's the secondary. So you have a great day passing. You keep Aaron Rodgers in a clean pocket, and he passes all over them, and they win. The problem is who the hell has been able to keep Niners defenders off their quarterback this year?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Not a single team.
It's not going to be the Packers to start.
Right, and it's not going to be the Packers either. I just can't imagine, unless you have little tweaks and injuries with these guys early in the game or something.
Like, well, Bosa Aaron Rodgers, going down would hurt.
Yeah, Bosa, which, look, the Bosa brothers tend to have injuries and go down and stuff.
Bosa
so.
Makes Buckner better and vice versa. You know, Jamal Adams, after the Vikings game, had like quote tweeted something on the 49ers, and he said, "Man, that defensive line is a secondary's dream." The 49ers have a mediocre secondary. Like, Tart is all right.
Akello Witherspoon is not good.
He's not good. Tart is okay. Sherman is still really solid.
He's good.
He is good. But the defensive line gets to the quarterback so quick and so fast that they press the quarterback to make a quick decision. And because they can play zone, the linebackers, Fred Warner, can get out in the secondary. You'll see him line up like that. Quan Alexander's athletic, that they're going to get in your face so quick. The Packers need to make quicker, bigger decisions. And that's where the big key is going to come from. If Rodgers, if they're doing big plays, big shots, they're hitting on them, and they're just slicing the field down, the 49ers are going to have a hell of a time. But I don't know how much Packers, how great of a time the Packers are going to have against the 49ers offense, because if the Packers think whatever that week eight or whatever the hell it was against the Packers, if that game was what they're going to play up against in that offense, you don't think that Kyle Shanahan has run you through an entire new offensive plan? I'm telling you, it is going to be George Kittle up their ass all day long. Debo is going to be right back at it. They didn't play against Emmanuel Sanders at that time. I hate to feel as confident as I can in this because this is one step away from the Super Bowl, but I'm 49ers on the line. It doesn't matter to me. I'm 49ers on the line, and I'm going to go over on this one. This is it. I feel very confident about the over, but I'm going to go Niners are going to take this 10 points.
I'm going to take the under in this game. I'm going to take San Francisco in the under in this one. I don't think this is going to be as high flying as people give it credit for. Because the Packers defense is pretty strong too. And if there's a weakness on the team between the defense and the offense, you would say it's the Niners offense because the defense is so good. And Jimmy G is inexperienced, obviously, throughout the playoffs. He's played in this one playoff game, but he's been to the playoffs with the Pats. And he's gone through the process of handling the media and all that stuff. So he knows all that. But playing these games is just different. So could you see a complete and total meltdown from Jimmy Garoppolo?
Absolutely.
It's happened. You know, it's absolutely happened before in the playoffs. So we just saw it. You know, I don't blame Lamar Jackson on the Ravens losing, but they lost that game and people put it on Lamar Jackson. So we've seen that kind of stuff before. So could it happen? Could Green Bay win this game? Absolutely.
Yeah, they could.
I am not counting them out at all, but I'm going to take the Niners. I'm going to take the under in this game. But even Jimmy G knows. He said, someone asked him the other day, he's like, tearing my ACL. He's like, yeah, it was worth it. It got us Nick. So that's what he said.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely the truth, too. So I don't know if they're in the spot without Nick Bosa.
No. And I mean, Nick did an interview after the game last week, and he was one of his first comments was just like, he's like, it's unbelievable how underrated no one will give Jimmy the credit that he deserves. So that offense and defense, the synergy is deep. And, you know, there were some offensive line mistakes in the last game that I think Shanahan's going to cover. There's going to be new game plan stuff. They're going to play their game. And if the 49ers are efficient, I don't think it matters what the Packers do. They win. If the 49ers get in their way, which they love to do, then this game is an absolute wild card. It is an absolute wild card to happen. You can't take anything away from Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams, one of the best route runners and receivers in the NFL, and the Niners' weakness is their secondary. And, you know, when the Packers are working with their run game, Aaron Jones can be dangerous. It's just Dalvin Cook can be dangerous, and he looked like a nobody. He looked like he was running in the XFL at
right,
that point.
Yeah.
So
I expect the Packers to play better. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers better than Kirk Cousins, but the Niners are going to win.
Bigger upset. Titans beat the Chiefs or Packers beat the Niners?
Titans beat the Chiefs.
Okay. I agree with that one. All right. I'm out of here. It's Casey, Bubba, and Bogman coming up. So make sure you guys are locked in. Thank you guys for all tuning into the episode. Hopefully you like the baseball rants in the first hour. You can find us both on Twitter at IsitTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast anywhere podcasts are and check us out over on patreon.com. Yeah, I hear you chewing. I hear you. All right. I'm definitely getting out of here now. All right. Don't go anywhere. Hour 3.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.